Hey, Todd, we're back again on a Thursday this week, Throw It in the Ocean podcast.
How you doing today, Yost?
Not too bad. I was actually thinking, turn you up a little bit, my headphones here. I was actually thinking that it'd be nice to have a solid intro for the podcast, but I don't know where to start with that. Like, every time we get on, you know, have like to say the same thing over and over, but I don't know.
We need a nice intro music, you know. It's right. Going to be like royalty free or something made specifically for us, which I don't know. That might be challenging.
Yeah. The music that plays in front of the podcast now is just literally like some royalty free transition music that's on there. So, which it works, but yeah, it would be kind of nice to have like a little something, something, which makes me actually kind of think, jump into something here. Like, what kind of music would you think like intros a podcast like this? Like, is it easy listening? Is it got a little oomph to it? You know, like, what genre do you think that would be?
It's a good question. I mean, it's going to be like a probably 20 to 40 second clip. So, I mean, if we're just talking out loud, I would say it's got to be something that represents something that we both like, or just a really good riff, or like, I don't think it has to be like, you know, it could be from a random genre, but it might just be a great like segment of a song that we're just like, yeah, that's, which we can't obviously just rob unless we get permission.
Right. yeah. Cause I do think, like, you know how with commercials and stuff, everything, podcast commercials, everything like that, like once you get used to the Joe, I literally almost said the Joe Rogan Experience intro. once you get used to an intro of something, like it sticks in your brain, and that, like, I don't know, that signifies like what you're about to listen to. So we probably should come up with something soon.
I think so.
Yeah,
for sure.
Anyways, you know, back to the week. I'm not feeling too bad. Today's Friday. I said Thursday earlier. I'm drunk, apparently. it's Friday.
It is.
We were going to record on a Thursday, but we just never got to it.
Yeah, Thursday got away from us. We tried. Actually, today went really fast. I got off a little bit earlier today, so that was nice.
Mm-hmm. And so, yes, today's Friday. I actually had an early day too. I had to go to, I got to go to my first appointment with Carly for the baby stuff, which was pretty exciting. Nothing too crazy, but we got to hear the heartbeat and stuff like that, which is wild to me. She should start feeling some movement soon. So that's going to be a whole other ballgame for her.
I'm curious. I'll listen and you'll update me and as we go, but how similar or dissimilar it's going to be to kind of the process that my sister and brother-in-law went through, you know, about a year ago, they had, my niece. So they were always talking about it, you know, starting with the doctors and going to appointments and, also going to like parenting classes and newborn, you know, how to deal with a newborn.
Definitely. And it's pretty scary. Like you just don't realize the things that you have to know. Like I've known how to do CPR on babies and infants for quite a while now, just because of the nature of my job. But now realizing that like could be a legit thing is crazy to me.
Just beyond that, it's crazy to think that it could happen any day that somebody, I mean, Brandy choked on a piece of pork chop a little while ago and I was like, do I need to give you the Heimlich? And she's like, no, I'm coughing. So that means I can breathe.
Yeah. Air's coming through. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. But then it's like, we did CPR certification not that long ago, a year ago, maybe. And, but yeah, that would be wild. That would be a shock to you're going about your normal day. And then it's just like, oh, jump into action.
And I always tell myself that I'd be the guy that would jump in, because I have to do it every year, and stuff like that. But I don't know, like, of course it's easy to say you would, but I don't know what I would feel during that time. I'm pretty confident in my ability to do it. I just don't know how confident I would be in that situation. Like I probably would be the wait for somebody else to make the first move. And then I'd go if I had to.
Yeah. I feel like I'd be in the same boat. Like I want to think that I'd be, you know, hot to trot and jump in there, but you just never know what the circumstances are and how you might react. Actually, here's a random one. We were leaving a softball game this year. I forgot about this until we just started talking about it, but As I was walking out, you know, I walk fairly fast for most people. And so I was walking by people, and one of my teammates' wife or girlfriend had her parents there, and they were walking out, and this guy, older guy, was carrying a lawn chair, and he was kind of on his own. I think his wife was back with her a little ways behind. And anyways, I was trucking by him, and he stopped, and I kind of glanced at him, and I was like, he started swaying, and I was like, oh, is he going to collapse onto the concrete? And I was like, I was on the concrete side, so I kind of stopped in case he fell towards me. Right. And then at the exact moment where he was like, it was in that stage where it's like, is he going to fall or is he going to not fall? Somebody hit a foul ball from another field over like high up in the air, and people were yelling. Yeah. And he fell the other way because I looked up to find the ball. He fell into the grass on his side and like landed on the chair he was carrying. And the ball almost hit him in the head on the way down. It was, and then so everybody that wasn't within like a 10-foot radius thought that he got hit by the ball.
Right, because it was just perfect timing.
It was wild. And then I was standing there because he like rolled over immediately and was awake. I think he just like was overexerted himself or dehydrated or low blood sugar. Who knows, you know, if he's his medical health or whatever. But so, and then obviously my teammate and his wife or girlfriend whose dad it was, they came rushing up, and I was like, should I like get down here on a knee, or like I didn't know what. There was so many people there so quick. That was one of those situations where I was just like frozen.
Yeah, and then as I walked away,
as I walked away, I was like, because he got up, he's like, "Nah, just give me a sec." I was like, "Did I do the right thing or the wrong thing?" Or it was just one of those. I had that moment of like uncertainty, even walking away. Yeah. I was like, "Should I walk away now?" It was weird, man.
Yeah, for sure. To match, you know, a crazy story like that, which didn't happen to me, but my boss at the rec center here, he's been a lifeguard and stuff. He trains lifeguards and everything like that. He has like multiple stories where he's had to perform CPR on people and like say either save their lives or not save the life, which is crazy to me. Yeah. He's had everything from, you know, being a lifeguard in a traditional pool setting to, he actually, it was either him or his brother had to perform CPR on a kid at a hotel pool because the parents weren't paying attention. And like, I'm pretty sure they lost the kid during that time.
What?
So like, yeah. So like, you know, I don't remember the success rate of, you know, performing CPR, but it's not 100%. It's like not even great at all, actually, which is crazy, but it's better than doing nothing.
Most people that have done any lifeguarding have had to pull somebody out and not necessarily had to do CPR, but have definitely had to pull somebody out that had swallowed some water and that was in trouble. Like I think my sister's even had to do it when she lifeguarded in Moorcroft in high school.
Right. Moorcroft. I just think about
yeah, they had a pool and then it got demoed. It was like 7,000 years old.
Right.
Well, pool I've ever seen.
Did you ever go to the pool in Dubois, like the one at the campground?
Oh yeah. We used to have freaking class there.
Yeah, we used to do the swim lessons there. Yep. And I just think like there was never a lifeguard there ever.
No.
That whole CPR and first responder thing's just, I don't know, it's crazy to me. And I even brought up like one of the times we were in the class, you know, because I worry about like things like, oh yeah, like if somebody dies on my watch, you know, what happens? And for the most part, you're protected and everything like that. But just being like a bigger guy and performing CPR, like I'm breaking ribs just at like a default setting because I just have so much more weight than most people. And that's just kind of scary to think about. So I don't know. It's
There's laws though. I mean, if it comes down to that, that's a nothing compared to saving a life.
Right. But you also think like in today's age, you know, there's going to be somebody somewhere that, you know, God forbid somebody's performing CPR on a loved one and they die, that person's going to be, they're going to take it and be like, well, they would have survived, but you killed them because you didn't know what you were doing. And like, there's somebody somewhere doing that. There's a Karen somewhere doing that.
I'm sure. But I think I'm pretty sure. Isn't that what the Good Samaritan like act or law covers?
Right. I think the person would be fine, but you know, that person's going to scream to the rooftops that this person just definitely killed their loved one because of CPR, but it's like there's nothing ever going to happen to that person, I guess.
Yep. Yep.
Speaking of CPR, I mean, as we transition into the Sober October talk, stand by when it comes to my health because it's freaking, it is right around the corner. I can feel it. No, not really. I hope, at least I hope not. You know, an update for everybody. Sober October first week for me just went to absolute shit. And it was just a combination of things like, you know, mental mostly. This week was better. Anything is better than zero. So I'll take that win, but, not necessarily in the making better choices department, but being more active this week has been better.
Yep.
And I think that's a good start. As basketball season rolls around for the high school, like we're doing open gyms and we play like with the guys. And so, I'm at least getting some exercises Thursday morning at 6:00. I played for like an hour and a half and I'm probably done exercising for the rest of 2020. like it was, I mean, it was rough. It was fun to play and it's always a good time, but it's rough. And, it just, now it just comes down to, I got to try and string a couple good days together, man. I've been talking so much this week that my throat hurts and it sounds like I'm going through puberty again.
I was
going to
say second puberty over there.
Yeah. And so, right around December, I'll lose my voice pretty hard. I did last year, whether it was coronavirus or, if it was,
pre-corona,
just coaching and stuff. And yeah, I think I was patient zero, especially sure. Especially Spearfish. Cause like I felt horrible for a large chunk of time and the doctors did nothing about it. And so I have a fever, I'm coughing, I'm super sick. And then here I am high-fiving all my guys and shaking hands with the other team and stuff like that. So,
I'm curious, speaking of shaking hands, I'm curious to how long it takes until we're back to, I had a whole bunch of people from all different offices in our office for work. And prior to March, you're meeting all these people that you talk to on the phone or have dealt with a bunch, but meeting them face to face and shaking hands and that's all gone right now. And is it going to come back? A lot of people are like, nope, it's never coming back. I kind of disagree. Nothing. Just say hello.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of disagree though. It's got to come back. I mean, that's an important part of just, meeting people in life. Yeah. It's not that the physical contact piece is important. It's just like an act of respect, I think, more than anything.
Right. I think in certain parts of the country, it'll never go away. But I do think in other areas, like it will probably be something that's a year or two from now will probably seem really weird to shake a hand. And yeah. Like, I don't know. I mean, I do think it's just as important. Like stuff we do here is like, we still do knuckles. We even tap elbows or stuff like that. But it's like, I still high five my guys when we're playing ball or anything like that. So I think certain parts of the country, it will be something that you don't see for a while.
I think everybody, and yeah, I think you're right. And to build on that, it's going to take a minute for everybody to get used to it again. Everybody's going to be awkward right. as hell. Yeah. It's like, we're going to be a regular handshake is going to be a moment of like, wait a minute, do I trust this person? You know what I mean?
Right.
As it comes back, I guess. But
when Carly and I first moved into our house here, it was in December. So a lot of our neighbors are inside all the time. Well, when the weather got better, I finally got to meet my neighbor on my other side. And I walked up to the fence to say, hey, this is me. And I held my hand out for an uncomfortable amount of time. And to the point where he finally like raised his hands like, hey, buddy, I'm not doing that. And like, I still didn't pick up on the cue. And I kept my hand up for an even longer amount of time. Like, dude, shake my hand.
Just give him a two-handed high five.
Yeah, it might as well have been like, the really long handshake. Like when you see somebody and they stick their hand out and you're just walking towards each other. It was the same idea. And when it finally clicked, I couldn't have felt more stupid because like, I finally realized like, oh yeah, of course this like old man isn't going to shake my hand in the middle of a pandemic. It was April. So it's like, we don't even know if this like how this shit's really transmitted in April. And so of course he wasn't going to shake my hand. So I felt so friggin' stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. But hopefully that stuff goes away. That's just unfortunate, but.
Well, and that's the weird thing too, is like, we'll get back on track this here eventually, but I've just have to like shake my head sometimes because like for sports right now, it's like, yeah, we're eliminating shaking the opponent's hands or after games or anything like that. Yet we're like were like breathing on each other in the game and spitting and bleeding and right in each other's face for, you know, an hour and a half.
Sweating on each other, yeah.
All touching the same stuff. And it's just like, man, that seems really, that just seems wild to me. Granted, we had a pretty, we're kind of in a big outbreak session right now here in town, but, and it's all kind of the sports teams, but that's a whole other ball game. Like, I'm going to dive into it real quick and then, yeah, let's talk about your update. But like the, as a teacher and as a coach, like our worst nightmare is happening because parents are in the high school. Okay. Parents just aren't taking care, like checking on their kids. Like they're sending their kids to sick or to school when they're sick, or the kids are going to school feeling like crap because their parents are both working a job or whatever. So they're not able to check in on them. And now you got a kid sick coming to school or going to practice or whatever. And everybody's too afraid to tell people because you're getting like shamed now if you get a positive test.
Yeah. I think it's like, that's true.
It's like when, I feel like it's when people were going through the AIDS epidemic, like everybody, everybody freaked out.
That's random that you brought that up because I actually had that exact thought the other day. I was like, if you get a positive coronavirus test, it's almost like you're in that group now. Like, and mm-hmm. I thought of what other incident in our history carried a similar stigma, and AIDS came up in right. my mind. That's weird that you brought that up.
Yeah, because at that time, well, especially at that time, I mean, there was only two ways you were getting it. And so yeah. people were like, they just immediately judged you as a drug user or sleeping mm-hmm. with somebody who had had it. So you're just living a risky lifestyle. And now it's like, oh my God, you have it? What, are you not washing your hands? Like, it's just like, I don't know. It's just crazy to me.
Yeah, that's true.
And then, yeah, now kids are staying home for 2 weeks. They're not doing their schoolwork. And then they come back and they wonder why they're failing. And it's just like, it's just kind of a nightmare right now. But anyways, how's the update going for you? What's going on?
Yeah. So yeah, kind of falling back in, you know, you had said like kind of the first week, and I guess I just wanted to clarify as we kind of derailed there for a sec, but, we're kind of, I guess I'm kind of considering this week two. I know it's only the ninth, but in reality we're kind of taking it, a week at a time, thinking last week, even though it was like the 28th on Monday.
Yeah.
And that kind of counted. So week two was honestly about the same as week one from a physical activity standpoint. I did a pretty damn good job of getting myself up and getting to the gym in the morning. I took Wednesday off just like I did the week before. Although this week on Wednesday, I got up and I was like, all right, I'm just going to chill and drink some good coffee. I made a nicer coffee and I'm going to watch some Top Gear or browse the internet or do whatever. And then, you know, roll into my day. Got up at like 4:30 with the dogs, no internet.
Nice. Solid.
So, and then just as a cherry on top, we have like the worst cell phone service ever at our house. So
yeah,
it was just pretty much like me sitting out in silence with the dogs for an hour, like being annoyed at everything.
Sorry, go ahead.
Trying to reset the router and trying to search on the internet on cell phone if there's a Spectrum outage and this. And I was just like, oh my God.
Are the dogs getting up at 4:30 every day?
Yeah, they're used to it. That's the routine we put together over all those years of me going to the gym at that and Brandy going to the gym at that time. So that's just what they do.
That's wild.
The occasional weekend day where they'll sleep until like 5:45 with us or whatever. Or if we're up and they're up until really late, they'll sleep until 6:00. But
yeah, like we're pretty much, we have Kelly on like a 6 to 6:30 schedule. Like she like kind of stirs around at 6:00, but doesn't really start losing her mind until about 6:30. So it's kind of nice, but
yeah, once they get used to it, they're creatures of habit. I mean, even more so than we are. So
yeah,
but so that was a weird little interruption in the middle of the week that I didn't get to. It was still a rest day, so that it worked out pretty good. But
yeah,
felt better at the gym this week. I pretty much did kind of the same structure of my workouts on Monday, Tuesday, and then Thursday, Friday, and felt like I had a little more energy. Even today, I had a better Friday workout than last Friday. I think I talked about just being more of a mobility day and doing some walking and doing some of that. And today I actually got a little bit more of a like accessory work and did some other stuff and got a little cardio in. And
nice.
The one thing that I did notice changed even more from this week as it was last week was I'm eating everything I can find. Yeah. I'm hungry all the time. Like, oh, yeah. I was going to say, I was trying to think about it when you were giving your update, like what eats the most. And I was like, a badger, or does badgers eat a lot? Like, I don't even know.
Yeah. But you could just say eating as much as a Yost. I mean, that's anybody that's listening kind of knows what that means.
Yeah. So that's been crazy. And so I hope it doesn't get, I don't know. I hope it kind of levels off so I can start to eat a little bit like more regulated and in not only quantity, but the types of food. Cause shoot,
right.
We had a whole bunch of people in my office. We had donuts and cookies and chips and frick.
Right.
So that was a lot of that was consumed.
Here's a funny thing too, that like I find myself in now that I'm like, you know, at some point in my life, I've always like tried to pay attention to what I eat, but at the school, like I'm 100% known as the guy that eats all the time. Like all my kids know me as like, oh, Yost is pretty much eating something all the time. Well, we have a cooking class, both like an entry level and like a little advanced. Like I'm like, anytime they make something, kids are bringing it to me to taste test it. So like, even if I wanted to eat healthy, like one day I'll get some freaking breakfast scone with a gallon of chocolate chips in it, cause they don't like know how to do that really. And then it like later in the day, I'll get like, oh, here's some biscuits and gravy. Oh, do you want some freaking banana bread on top of that? Like, and I'm like, of course I do.
You're just going to have to, they're going to bring it in on like a cookie tray, and you're just going to have to slap it upwards.
It's just, slap it out of their hands.
Yeah.
Matumbo. Or what I need to talk to the foods teacher about is like, hey, like, let's come up with a diet plan for me. So then I just have like kids making me healthy food all day long.
That's right. There you go.
So yeah, but yeah, I just think like eating everything, like even if I want to eat healthy, I'm just bombarded with food all the time. And that's sometimes it's horrible. Sometimes the kids are absolute crap sometimes. And so I bite into it. I'm like, nah, I'm not eating these. But then other times it's like, oh, well, we messed up so bad. So the teacher made a version of it. And like, she's an insane cook. So I'm like, yeah, I'm going to eat all this.
Yep.
So, which also like, I want to be I want to be that teacher. That'd be fun.
Just cooking at school for your job.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be great.
Is there like a home ec class there?
That's basically what it is, yeah. She teaches like the foods classes, so like home ec, and then also teaches like child development classes, like where they take home the babies and stuff like that. And they learn all that fun stuff. Like it's a pretty interesting class, and she's got like a lot of kids that take it really say that it's like a really fun class. So and I'm not just saying that because she doesn't listen to the podcast. She doesn't even know it exists, but like she got hired like the same time I did. And like, I honestly feel like for the majority of it, like most of the time there's like a group of teachers that all the kids like, and it's like my name and her name are always in that list. So, I mean, you know, like she's got a cool class to teach and she's a cool teacher. And so it's kind of hard like to not love your job at that point, but
that's true. That's a really good point. Yeah.
But then it does suck. There's that fine line of being the cool teacher or the nice teacher, is like you do have those days where you kind of got to be a little bit of a jerk and it does not translate well. And then everybody doesn't talk to you for a couple of days because they're like, ah, you were a jerk the other day. And it's like, yeah, I'm a human. I'm allowed to have bad days.
Yeah. But, yeah. We've talked about it, I think, on here, but I'm not equipped to bounce back from that with you know what I mean? I'm glad that I'm not doing what you're doing. And that's fine. Right. That's why you're doing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Somebody's got to do it.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny. Like I'll probably dive into it a little bit more Sunday. Just cause it's a little bit heavier of a topic, but, this week was a big week for, especially one day in my classes. Like we got into some pretty, cool stuff, and I'll tease it a little bit and we'll talk about it on Sunday, but I had a whole class, 18 students, which to some people that's not a ton, but when you see my room and I can only hold like 10, that's a lot. I had, I'd say 17 of the 18 kids in there crying at one point. Just cause we were talking about some pretty cool stuff. So we'll get into that Sunday though.
Okay.
But yeah, other than that, it sounds like Sober October is going pretty well for you.
Yeah. So that was more of the fitness side, but honestly, even as my goals were, you know, no beers, no seltzers, and allow myself to have a glass of whiskey or whatever, I actually haven't had anything since we talked on Sunday. So
nice. Good.
I don't know. I guess it just works out that way when you're, and that's the other thing, getting up so early and actually working out. I'm wiped out by like eight o'clock. I'm like, dude, it's over.
Yep.
So we'll see how the days go, or if it keeps going like that. But
and it is nice, like you, even for me, like on Thursday when I played basketball in the morning and stuff like that. Like, it's definitely easier to make good choices then, because you just kind of feel like, I don't want to waste it. Like,
yeah, exactly.
I burned already all these calories in the morning. Like, I don't want to waste them. And so a lot of that, I think that's a lot of reason I have trouble is like, if I start out bad, the day is going to go bad. So I don't know. Getting some sort of exercise, especially with Carly, like, and then now that Kelly can go on walks and be around other dogs and stuff, like, we're going to try and be more active, just getting the dog out and doing some stuff, but hopefully that'll translate to us as well.
Yeah. You'll have to start. I mean, you got some more weeks of good weather, but we end up walking the dogs probably just as much, if not more, in the winter, cause they do better and Ben are getting old, do better with the cooler temps than they do in the hotter temps. So,
right.
You'll have to see how Kelly does with that, because she's a little smaller, and I don't know how her tolerance is going to be to cold, but getting that exercise good.
Yeah, it'll be nice tonight we're already planning on going on a decent walk down in Spearfish and stuff. And I say down in Spearfish like we're out of town, but it's just like down the road. So, as far as like the drinking thing, I mean, I don't really ever have an issue with it, but I do know there's times where it sounds nice. Especially like when one of our breweries gets a new beer out and it sounds nice. It's like, oh, that'd be cool. But then it's kind of cool because Carly's obviously not drinking. So like that helps. Not only am I not spending the money on it, but I'm also not just like knocking down 3 craft beers and just being shit faced the rest of the night.
I got to point it out. Well, you got some time if we do the whole month of October this way. Right. But this is your opportunity to have a DD.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It 100% is. The problem is my DD is usually tired at 7. Like,
you just got to start at 4.
Yeah, there's been some nights where like we both go to lay down. We, you know, Kelly eats and then I put her in the bed so she could like kind of hang out and nap with us for a little bit. And Carly's out by like 7:30. And I'm like, well, I'm not really doing anything. I guess I'll go to sleep too.
Yeah.
So it's been kind of nice though. I mean, I've been getting way more sleep, like 7.5 to 8 hours every night. It's been kind of nice. So. Which I got to get it while I can, because in March, I mean, I'm not getting any sleep. So
true. You got to you got to get it. Sleep's important. And then building on what we're talking about, it's important when you're trying to kind of build some good habits and reinforce those habits, so you have the energy to do it. So,
right. And that's the other downside is like, I usually do okay without sleep. There's a lot of times where I sleep like crap, and that's probably diet related and stuff like that. So I'm not too concerned about when the baby comes. I just know like Carly needs like a solid amount of sleep to feel like any sort of like normal human. So I think it'll be a good balance of like, you know, I'll get up early and I'll stay up late, and then she could do the daytime stuff and I'll just pass out all day long. So
that's true. Hey, by the way, I just thinking about what you're going to be doing in school and stuff by then. We'll have to wait and see, but because I'm guessing you're not going to be getting much like time off, right?
Yeah.
Do you get any?
I do get some. I do get paternity leave. I don't know how much. And I want to say it's probably 2-3 weeks, maybe.
Well, that's pretty good. That's probably better than most.
Yeah, which is definitely good. And then I can also use like my vacation time that we're given, our personal time as well. Like we had talked to try and push the baby towards like the end of, you know, the beginning of May, so that then I could just be done for the summer.
Yeah.
But it'll work out pretty good, because like she'll have a bunch of time off and I will too. And then I'll come back to school for a little bit probably. And then towards the end of the year, I'll just use my personal days to spend time at home, and then I'll have the whole summer. So
yeah, that'll work out.
I'll space it out a little bit. And if she is losing her mind being by herself, if I do go back, then it's like, okay, well, I'll just take some time off and we'll tag team it for a little bit. So it'll be interesting. And who knows, by then we could all be freaking locked down again like last March. So
we better not.
I hope.
I don't think
not.
We
I
can.
Absolutely hope
I don't
not.
Think we can survive as a society.
No, if we can't freaking, if our first lockdown, we couldn't keep toilet paper on the shelves. Like, I don't know. I think people will just panic even more if you have to be stuck inside again.
Yeah.
And like my mental health during that time was horrible.
I'm like telling you,
just
that's
being
what
stuck inside, and yeah, it was rough.
Yeah, that's what kickstarted. I mean, I'll be the first to admit it, and I think I even did. But when you're home and it's cold and crappy out, and you can't go anywhere, you can't do anything. Right. I was drinking during the day, no, not at work day, but you know, like drinking playing video games because you had nothing to do. You can't go anywhere. Yeah. You can't do anything. And usually right. when the weather's bad here, I actually do better because I'm trying to do stuff in the mornings and I'm tired by the end of the day, but I don't know.
Right. Well, and it was like, you know, it was one of those things too, where like we went through everything that we wanted to do because we had a little bit more downtime. Because like, you know, watching movies, burning through series, doing stuff at the house, you know, painting rooms and stuff like that. But then we just hit a wall where it was like, holy cow, I feel like I haven't done anything. There was a point where I literally looked at everything on the internet. Like there was nothing left.
I covered the whole thing.
Yeah. And like same with YouTube. I watched every YouTube ever uploaded because there was just times where I felt like I was on my phone for 48 hours straight on a weekend because I couldn't go anywhere. I couldn't do anything.
I think I felt like that too. Even it was more than just weekends because even when I was going into the office, everybody else was working from home. So then, yeah. you know, you're going in and working through lunch and I'm coming home every day early or right. it just was so much different. And work did slow down at the peak, you know, early like April, May, but then yeah. boy, it came back fast and hard because it's been a busy couple months.
Right. And that's great. I mean, it's nice to see things turn around like that. But yeah, I don't think we'll get locked down. Even like right now when they talk about the school shutting down, it's at no longer than 2 weeks. You know yep. what I mean? It's like, we'll go do 2 weeks and we'll come back. We'll be fine. But you know, it's frustrating, because a lot of people are upset at, you know, either side of the board, they're upset about how things are being handled or what's going on. And the increase of cases lately is kind of annoying as well. But then it's like, okay, well, you know, our homecoming game got canceled because a lot of guys on the football team tested positive or they're listed as close contacts, so they couldn't participate. But then it's like, okay, there's no football game. They all went to a party together.
Oh.
So they all get together and they, you know, whatever. So it's just like, if we don't want this to get worse, like, let's make great choices. But whatever. The same could be said about my waistline as well. If we don't want it to get worse, make better choices. But
yeah, it's a weird time. Yeah. Man, I don't know. I've said it to a lot of people. I can't remember if I've said it here or to you at all. But it feels like since April or May, we kind of half did it. And we've just been – we kind of half put the Band-Aid on. And then now we're like half peeling it off and taking as long as possible. Whereas right. you either got to slap it on and leave it on, or you got to just rip that thing off. And I don't know what's the right call, but somewhere in the middle where we've been, it just seems wrong. So
yeah,
I don't know. We're just delaying our misery.
Well, and the problem with whether you leave it on or you rip it off, it's wrong to somebody. Like even if the world's smartest scientist comes out with like the best data in the world and is like, you know what, this is what we have to do. Half of the country is going to be like, this guy's a fucking idiot. Like, I don't know. So we're just in a weird spot with both. You're in the middle of a pandemic, but you're also middle of everybody hating each other for whatever reason, you know, name it. Somebody's mad about it and you've done the wrong thing. So
yeah,
I don't know.
Speaking of just half the country and everybody being mad, did you watch any of the VP debate?
I did. I actually did watch quite a bit of it. Coming to where the world got really weird. So we had parent-teacher conferences that night, but it was all virtual. So like my classroom doesn't get a lot of parents coming into it anyways. It's kind of the nature of the family dynamic that's the kids in my classroom. So in person, it's pretty quiet night. But virtually, I had two phone calls at 3:35 and like 3:50, and then I was done the rest of the time. I just sat in my room waiting for the phone to ring. Never rang. I talked hoops with one teacher, and then I sat there and started watching the presidential or vice presidential debate. So I did watch it.
I tried to watch the replay the next day. I don't know. I sent you a snap about it. It didn't impress me.
Well, the problem is if I can't tell the difference between two leaders of the free country or the vice presidents of the free country, if I can't tell the difference between them and two freshmen in my class arguing over who's better at Fortnite, like I can't be bothered with taking anybody seriously.
Well, like, it's literally, and yeah, I'll explain. I sent you a snap. I loaded it up on YouTube. I had every intention of just listening to it as I worked. And I was like watching it play. It was kind of the intro, the lead in. It was PBS one I watched. So it was like the anchor. And then finally it got to the moderator after like 5 or 6 minutes of BS. And I was kind of clicking ahead. And then it got to the moderator. So I started listening. And then she was just talking. And then they finally brought the two out. And then they were talking about how the format was going to go and keep it civil, yada, yada, yada. And here, and so they finally asked a question. It was like, I looked at the time. It was like 7:20 something.
Yep.
Or 7:35 or I don't know, something like that. It's mid 7 minute mark. And I listened to the question. It went to Kamala Harris. I listened to her answer for, I paused it and I was just like annoyed. And I looked down, it was like 7:15 or 8:15. And I was like, that was 45 seconds and I'm done with this.
Yeah.
Because I knew exactly where it was going to go. It was, I'm going to ask you a question on what you would do in a situation. And then instead of answering that question, I'm going to point fingers at somebody else about what they've done wrong and not answer what I would have done. And that's what the whole thing was. I didn't even have to watch anymore. I was just like, that's 45 seconds of my life gone.
Yep. And that's what everybody's getting triggered by, like bouncing around topics and bouncing around tough questions. It's like, why do we have a moderator in the first place? Like, if you just want to give these two people a chance to talk trash to each other, just mute one's mic for 5 minutes, let that one talk, then mute the, and then just switch. And then just do that, repeat, rinse and repeat for an hour and a half. Cause they're not talking about anything.
Well, and the other problem is that they're not talking about, you can say anything. It doesn't even have to be true now. Right. You could just lie. And that's what everybody does. It doesn't. So it makes no difference. We started digging into it last Sunday a little bit. It doesn't really make a difference anymore. Nobody can actually, like I want to know real information. I can't find it hardly on my own. So to expect to hear it from these people that are trying to compete for the highest elected, official position, it's, I'm not even going to pay attention. I'm done. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't know how the public doesn't agree or doesn't do that as well. I guess it's because they don't want to look for the information. They want to hear the information, and confirmation bias is real.
It's what blows my mind is that people sit and they take whatever information from whatever party they want. They take that stuff coming out of those people's mouths as like pure gospel. When I sit down and watch the presidential debate and the vice presidential debate, I'm in it 100% for the memes that are about to come out of it. Like, I can't wait to see the remixes people do, the funny story, like funny pictures and like the jokes that people come up with, because like, I know it's just a comedy show at this point. It's a reality TV show.
Yeah.
It's like did you see the fly that landed on Pence's head?
Yeah.
Like that fly is like more popular than both of those two people combined now on the internet.
I know. It's crazy.
And like he had pink eye that you spotted for like 2 seconds. The internet took that and ran with it. And it's so hilarious, like where they end up. And like, I shouldn't be looking at two people that want to run the United States of America. I shouldn't be looking at those two people as less intelligent than me. There's there's never been a point where I've thought I was like a genius until I watched those two guys debate each other. Like, and not the vice president and stuff. That's, I mean, I kind of don't really care. The problem is I should care because both Trump and Biden are old as shit. So those two could be the president, but
actually think that's a really, really valid point. And I think that, you know, I thought about that a lot when he was announcing who he was going to be running, or Biden was announcing who's going to be running for VP. Cause I was like, this person has a good chance of being president.
This person's just going to be president at some point. Yeah. The other side of it too, and I'm going to run this by you and I want you to see what you think. I think I solved the problem with the debates. Okay. And I'm not saying it's like my original idea, but like I was driving home one day and I was just like pissed at how it was playing out. And I was like, maybe they should just do this. Okay. The show's an hour and a half. Everybody wants equal speaking time. So we give each candidate 45 minutes. Okay. That there's a guy with a stopwatch, just like when you play chess. When you start talking or you're interrupting, they hit the start. Okay. If you're sitting quietly and listening, your clock doesn't run. So you get 45 minutes. So if you decide to spout, you know, your false information while the other person's talking, go over your allotted time, continue to ignore the moderator, the clock just keeps running. So if you say spend 15 of your 45 minutes on the first topic, you don't get that back. Once your 45 minutes is up, your mic is muted for the rest of the evening. So then that way it like actually hopefully would keep people from interrupting each other. So you could at least hear points. It's not going to help the fact that they never answer the questions.
Yeah.
But like the moderators don't have any control over those people. So if you literally say, hey, if you want to spend all 45 minutes spouting your bullshit on topic number one, perfect. You just have the rest of the time, the rest of the 45 minutes where you don't get to say anything.
Yep.
And I just think they got to do something to get it under control. There's the moderators are a joke. Like they don't do anything.
No.
If I had to hear that moderator say, thank you, Mr. Vice President, one more time, like if it was a drinking game, you'd be dead 10 minutes in because they just, she's never stopped saying, thank you, Mr. Vice President.
Yeah.
And he would never stop talking.
I do see some, I mean, I'm game to try anything at this point, but I do see some issues with that as well. But
yeah. Oh yeah, of course. Yeah.
Because all it is now is who gets the last word. Who gets to put in the final word to basically just cancel out, try to cancel out everything that the other person just said.
Just Trump.
They just gets they just are both dead silent until the last like 1 minute.
Trump gets like 15 seconds. Biden runs out of time. He uses 15 seconds to just lean in the mic and say, wrong. And then that's it. Anyways,
I had another thought before we move off of this. Kind of similar topic, but I think I read it somewhere or maybe saw it in a, I don't know. But do you think, why can't somebody, and I even think that I kind of fall into this category, why can't I be in favor of coal energy right now, but also be in favor of trying to become more green? Why can't we be both? Why does it have to be like one camp against the other? And like energy is a good example of
that. Yeah, exactly. It's one of those things where I honestly think that there's no reason you can't. It's just other people's opinions of you is kind of what's keeping you from doing it. You know what I mean? Like you 100% could feel that way and you should, but like you never want to say it because you're worried about just dealing with somebody with a single digit IQ. Like I don't know. People just get so stuck in their ways that it's just, they don't want you to have an opinion, but holy cow, they're going to give you theirs.
I mean, I feel it can apply to a lot of things. Like I'm in favor of having secure borders, but I'm also in favor of being the land of opportunity and letting people come here to build lives, right? That's the American dream. Like I feel like we can be both, but nowadays it's not acceptable to be both.
Yeah. It's because nobody wants like somebody that just rides the fence, I guess. I'm fine with it. I'm 100% on board with, I want to lose weight, but I want to eat all the calories I can at the same time, you know, like,
and the two examples I just gave, I think you don't have to take a stand one way or the other. No. I think you can do both of those things on both of those in many topics. While being in favor or having reasons to be in favor of everything, you know what I mean? I guess your example is you want to do both. Well, you can't.
Yeah,
you
literally can't.
You can't eat the world and lose. And you know what I mean? Well, you can. Actually, I take that back. You can. You just have to do steroids.
Yeah.
So
get the coronavirus.
There you go. So we solved it. So you can do that.
All right. Well, perfect.
I'm a problem solver, man. That's what I do.
I could definitely get steroids right now if I wanted to. Like that's a weird thing to be able to get, but I definitely could get it. I don't know. It's frustrating. I try to just like look at things as like a situation by situation. Like, you know, I can definitely be on board with something, but in the same like umbrella of stuff. Like I could also hate another thing that falls into that umbrella. You know what I mean?
Yep.
But I'm also probably the most, I don't know. I'm probably one of the most middle of the road people that I know, mainly because I'm not educated on a lot of things, but I tend to think more about like what just like down to my core just doesn't feel right. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It's probably not the right way to look at things, but I never find myself being super passionate about one topic or another.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I kind of am the, I don't know if I'd say the opposite of that, but I don't use the way I feel about something to help decide my stance. Yeah, I think that's just because of the way that I you know, developed as an adult and the career right. path and field that I chose to work in, I think. But
yep.
I don't know. Everybody's got that different sort of, what am I trying to say? Like thought process, I guess.
Yeah. And, you know, growing up in Wyoming where coal is king, you know, I definitely understand the need for coal and everything like that. But to me, it does, it's just not a, it's a finite resource. Like it'll have an end, at least as far as I know. And there's just better ways of doing things. Like shouldn't our mindset be, and isn't why we got to a certain point in life, can we do this better? You know what yeah, I mean?
That's what it needs to be. That's my point. Like I said, like I'm going to be in favor of some aspects of coal for power. And the reasons are that it supports a shitload of people. And now it's the most cost-effective way that we're powering things. And that's slowly changing, but I'm ready for us to come up with a better way to do it. And if we can do that and transition our kind of, you know, socioeconomic part of that, like let's do it. But until we're ready to do that. And the same thing goes for fossil fuel. I mean, that is fossil fuels, but you know, from like gasoline, it's the same thing. But we can't all just say no more gas and then just draw a hard line. And then what are we going to do?
Yeah. Right.
You know what I mean? We can't.
I don't know. Now that I'm thinking about, just like life in general, like the big timeline of all events and stuff. I'm going to use my favorite movie, which I'm pretty sure I said Interstellar on my top 10 movie list. But if I didn't, that's a crime against humanity.
You did. Cause it was my number one.
Okay, cool. But I kind of think of a quote in that movie that I can't think of the actual actor's name, like the dad in that movie that played like on Third Rock from the Sun and stuff like that.
Yeah. Lithgow.
Yeah. John Lithgow.
Yep.
They're talking on the porch about how people used to get excited because it seemed like every day something new was being invented or there was like a new breakthrough. Of course, that wasn't the case, but like, it feels like we're really just like stuck. Like nothing big is really happening besides horrible things. And maybe that's what life needs is you need horrible things. I mean, you know, what is that saying? Invention is the something of necessity. I don't remember the quote. But like you need a little chaos for things to grow or you need things to break down before you can start to like rebuild them better. So maybe that's what phase we're living in. Like we're in a current like dark ages. It just feels like nothing good is being done and there's been like no advances that have like literally blown my mind.
I feel like you're right. And we're going to talk about it on Sunday, hopefully, the conspiracy theory side. But I just watched a show and one of the episodes was there was a guy that gets hired by various companies that have crazy financial stakes and things that he just goes around and finds people that come up with ways to create clean drinking water or have a water-powered car or all these inventions that would change the world and just like pretends like he's going to help these people out and then just steals the invention and like puts it in the thing and hides it and then kills them. Like that was the show. Right. I was like,
I can't wait to dive into that kind of stuff because I live, that's like one of my biggest things is how many ideas are being suppressed by people that we don't even know about.
But let me throw this at you. What if you, let's just say one of us invents something that could change the world and it's going to put somebody out of business or an entire industry out of business.
Yeah.
And there is no conspiracy, but that industry comes at you and says, we're going to give you like an unheard of amount of money, $10 billion. You know what I mean?
Oh God. Here we
go.
Do
you take it?
That's
a quandary.
Well, this is a great segue of one, a show that I also want to do is like the ethical dilemmas.
Yep.
You know, like do you kill five to save one or, you know, whatever. And like, that's a big one. Like, do you, you know, you have the cure for cancer, but then somebody comes to you and says, you know, we'll give you $1 trillion if you don't tell anybody about it.
Right.
Or you give it to us. Like, I don't know, man. I have to think that I'm going curing cancer, But I don't know, because I don't know the full outcome. Like, yeah, you could give me $1 trillion, but as soon as it's in my bank account, you could also shoot me in the face.
Exactly. Or you can also just say no and they can still shoot you in the face.
Exactly. Like, no, I'm going to give the cure to cancer to people and they still shoot you in the face. So I don't know. Yeah, that's a tough one.
No, we're teasing it. We'll talk about it more.
Yeah, we'll talk about more on Sunday. Anyways, that was a fun little tangent to jump down. I kind of wanted to jump onto something a little different towards the end here.
Let's do it.
So, you know, I have a lot of kids. I deal with kids every day, and we have a lot of things in common. We're both super immature. I still play video games, stuff like that. And not saying video games is immature, but like, this is the things I have in common with my students. And it's really fun to hear like their level of excitement and some of the memories they've been creating with like their friends playing video games, because like we went through the same phase.
Oh yeah.
But we didn't really have like that online hype like they do now.
Right.
You know, we got into it towards the end of our gaming careers with Call of Duty and stuff like that. But like, I still remember like vividly, and I still reminisce on it quite a bit too, of dragging 4 TVs over to John's house and needing to buy or to borrow a freaking router from the cyber cafe and have cords all over the place just so we could play 16 man Halo.
Oh yeah. Like not only that, we had to build those cords.
Yes, we made all the Cat 5
we made
cords
all
ourselves.
The Cat 5 cables.
And then let's put more even old man icing on the cake. We had to freaking use a landline to call our friends, ask if they were home when their dad answered, and be like, hey, do you want to come over at 7 to come play Halo? Bring your controller.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
We were so organized. But yeah, dude. And I just remember thinking like there was a moment where in Halo and Halo 2 and Halo 3 where I was like literally a god gamer amongst my group of friends. And then it like, you know, we get jump in the Call of Duty days and it's like, oh my God, Todd's insane with snipers, or holy cow, Nick just runs around the map with knives and just stabs people in the back the whole game and he gets 35 kills.
Yeah.
Like there's just always those things that I constantly remember. Like Casey, once he ran across a guy that was camping in a corner in a room, it was his life mission to make sure that guy never camped again. And he would die 100 times just to kill the guy once. Like yep. he couldn't do anything else. And so I hearing these kids' stories talking about like playing Fortnite and Warzone now and stuff, and you know, Minecraft and stuff like that. Like, they've got some great stories that to them is like the greatest times of their lives. And I just can't help but be like, man, I feel that to the core. Like,
oh, yeah.
I didn't grow up, well, I still haven't, but I didn't grow up going to parties. I didn't grow up drinking. I didn't have my first drink literally until I was like 21. Thanks to Doug Adam for freaking getting me hammered and throwing up in my sock drawer off of 2 Keystone Lights. So like my definition of fun was getting together with the boys and raiding the Ludi's pantry and just playing video games all night long. And then we went to college. It was the same thing. We're staying up till midnight for the new Call of Duty release. And we sit on the couch for hours playing Call of Duty. Some of my best memories are that.
Yeah, absolutely. And just building on the Call of Duty thing in the college when it was a little more similar to what we're doing now, or what kids are doing now.
Right.
I think the game that changed it all for me was Call of Duty 4, the first Modern Warfare.
Right.
Yep. That was the game.
That was the
game
one.
For years.
Until, yeah, we had
until whatever the next war was it
probably
World
would have
war?
Been Black Ops
or Black Ops.
I don't
but
remember,
still,
actually, yeah,
that game was nuts.
That was like I know we played like Halo and stuff online, Halo 3 and everything, but like, yeah, Call of Duty was like our big jump into online. Like, remember just like how insane it was to play and like somebody would get a nuke?
Oh, yeah.
Or like you're just battling to get nukes, or you'd be using the worst gun in the game just so you could unlock the gold camo for it. Like, it was so much fun. And you just pass the controller to your buddy and then watch them kill to death ratio because you were grinding for a week straight. And then all of a sudden they get one kill.
I know. Yeah. Like after 30,000 games, like that one game's going to change your
right. Exactly.
KD ratio.
And it's just, and it's, and like for me too, it's not even just like, it goes back even further. Cause I remember like,
what's the first video game you played?
Oh man.
I know what mine is.
Give me yours. I'd have to think for a second.
Super Mario Brothers on Super Nintendo.
Yeah. I mean, mine's gotta be, mine has to be that or, because I didn't have a Super Nintendo. My neighbor did. Ben Milton had one.
Nice.
Ben Milton's not listening, but if you are, what's up? he had a Super Nintendo and he had a ton of games. I do remember playing Mario and stuff like that. Honestly, the first game that I really remember playing, my first console was a Nintendo 64.
That was my second. I had a Super Nintendo and then I got that 64.
Right. I never had anything newer or older than that. My first game was like the Mario game or whatever, but then GoldenEye came out.
GoldenEye was legit. I played the hell out of that.
Yeah, GoldenEye was like my entry into the shooter world, first which person. Became like, yep. Yeah, became my life. My first game, though, that I remember putting in a ton of time in was actually Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3.
I played those a little bit, but I never got super deep into them. I don't know why. Right. I think I kind of started to go more sports games about that time. I don't know. What was that on? Was that on PlayStation?
Well, so that's the crazy thing is it. I don't really remember it on console until like PlayStation 2, maybe.
Yeah.
And I could be wrong. Actually, I'm pretty sure it was on like Dreamcast or something like that. But my first entry into it was the Riverton, Wyoming, was where we would go to get groceries from our hometown most of the time. Like you could get them at our local grocery store, but like if you needed to do a fat trip, you're going to Riverton.
Yep.
That's where our Walmart was and everything. And they had a grocery store there called Smith's. And outside the front, like the little entryway, they had a couple arcade machines. And then eventually like our hometown got that arcade. I don't know if you ever remember that Jujubee's.
I don't think it was there when I was like, it was there. It must've went out of business right when I moved there.
Yep. Yeah, it probably did. Cause it was like a den for dealing drugs. But I remember watching older kids play on the arcade cabinet playing Mortal Kombat at the time. And so I would just sit on the side and like at the bottom, it had like all the special moves that you could do for all the characters and stuff. And I just would sit there while my mom was shopping. She'd give me a ton of quarters and I would just play sometimes by myself. Sometimes there'd be older kids there. And then I got to the point where I was running that arcade cabinet because I like learned all the moves. Like I you know, I studied like all the stuff. And then that was the first game that I feel like I actually got good at. And I would just like clap kids when they'd come and play against me because they're just smashing buttons and I'm doing like fatalities and stuff. So that was probably the game. Like I still have a passion for Mortal Kombat and like fighting games. I still love those games. First person shooters are always going to be my favorite or just shooters in general. But I don't know.
Sports games have always kind of been my thing, man. First-person shooters and sports games. Because first-person shooters, I agree. I'm all about that as well.
Yeah.
But I played, like, I'm trying to remember the first sports game I played. It might have been some, like, really, really crappy, like, NBA Live, like, back in the day. Yep. Or something like that. And then there's obviously, like, everybody that played video games that's our age when we were growing up played Tony Hawk Pro Skater.
Great game. PlayStation, perfect game.
Played the hell out of that. And then,
yep.
But yeah, like FIFA. I mean, you and I used to have some crazy FIFA battles.
FIFA's amazing. I even think like, I remember being in high school and I don't know what year it was, but like playing Madden, like hardcore games against like, you know, Joe and like we'd skip class and go play with like Joe Beals and Trent and Eric and all those guys. We'd go over and it would just be like, your friendships were on the line when you played that game. Like people, you talk so much trash. So like those kind of sports games, NBA Live, I remember when that game first like started having like the 3-point contest and the dunk contest and stuff in there. And it was like, this game's so insane. So
yeah,
I love sports games too. I got away from them for a long time because I got sick of like, there just being no changes.
Yeah. I got away from video games altogether for a long time. I went from Xbox 360 and then graduate college. And then I didn't really play video games other than the occasional FIFA match with you that was 10 years old.
Right. Yeah,
until I moved here, it was 10, almost 9, 10 years.
Yeah. We'd boot up like FIFA, like 09.
I was actually trying to pull it up. I'm pretty sure it was older than that. I'm pretty sure it was like 06.
Yeah.
Or maybe like the World Cup edition or something.
It was the World Cup edition. Yep, it was the World Cup edition. Because yep. I don't even think it had like a normal game mode. I think you just only played as international teams.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, and I just, video games is like, has always just been a huge part of my life. Like it definitely isn't now as much with, you know, everything going on and stuff like that. But like, I think it's one of those things that I miss a ton. I mean, we used to, I don't remember what Call of Duty, I actually think it was like Black Ops 2. We used to all go to our jobs. This is like before any of our friend group. Some of us were still in college. You might have just graduated. Nobody was in married. Nobody was like, you know, doing a serious relationship. And remember, like, you used to go to work. Casey used to go to school. Like, I would just be sitting around being a bum all day. John would go to work and everything. And we would all get online like 5 o'clock every night. And we'd just party up and just play Call of Duty, like Black Ops 2 till like 10.
Yep.
And then we just rinse and repeat every single day. And it's like sad. I just picture like those movie montages where it's like you see people laughing in slow motion, like on the couch, and then they slowly like fade out. Like that's what I picture our video game, like our years dying out is like Todd's laughing in slow motion on a couch. And then the subtitles is like, Todd moved on to become an engineer at a small company. And, you know, and then it, yep. His picture just like fades out. And then it's like, nobody's heard from him in 10 years. and then literally it felt like I was, cause I took such a long time to actually like grow up that like, then everybody's gone. And then you just see me like with a headset on staring at the screen. And it's just like, Michael can still be found in Mike Shaw's basement playing video games by himself.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Oh, so I'm, there's definitely times where I'm glad I moved out of that phase of life. Cause it was just like an unproductive phase, but man, to get the boys back together on some Black Ops 2 or something like that, or even advance the first Modern Warfare. Holy cow, man. That would be friggin' nuts.
They need to, is it like, I wonder if it's, is it out there? Like, could you get like a remastered on a new console?
I think they redid, I don't think they've done anything with Modern Warfare. I could be wrong, but they've redone like, some of those games.
Just play four people.
Yeah. Just 2-on-2. Yeah. Yeah. And like, that's what kind of sucks now is like, I'm definitely more of a single player game guy now, like God of War, the new Spider-Man, stuff like that. I find myself leaning into more because like, first off, I can't compete with 12-year-olds anymore. They're actually insane. And I just kind of am more driven towards like an experience when I sit down and play video games now, because it's usually by myself.
Ooh, so that's a weird, we can talk about this a little bit. I was just thinking about it when you were kind of talking about just the various types and you know, going between sports games and other games. I think I gravitate towards games where I don't want to play for the story or for the entertainment. Right. I want to play for the competition. That's why I like multiplayer. That's why I like, you know, single player online Fortnite or Warzone or, and the sports games is the same way. Even if you're playing the AI, you're playing a season or you're playing, you know what I mean?
Yep. Definitely.
And I've played very little. There are some exceptions like Grand Theft Auto and, you know, some of those like early open world games. And like back in the day before Assassin's Creed, is that what it's called?
Yeah. Yep.
Before that, Prince of Persia, that was like a groundbreaking game.
Yeah.
But those were like the only ones I really got into that were not competition focused. That's weird. So that sounds like it may be a little bit different than what you're talking about.
Yeah. I definitely, the other side of it too is like, I like competitive games. I just don't have time to put into them to get good at them. And then that makes me kind of not like playing them because I just can't advance. Like my skills never get better. I don't doubt that I could get better at games like Overwatch or Fortnite or anything like that, but I just don't have the time. So when I do play and I'm like, I clearly know like I'm about to get destroyed by somebody because I just don't have the skill set. I'm like, oh, this is annoying. I can't be competitive. So then I just like stop playing it.
Well, I have an addictive personality when it comes to that kind of thing, which luckily I know that there's no way I'll ever compete with some of the people in Fortnite. But if I can beat, you know, a healthy percentage of them, I'll feel pretty good about it.
Yeah.
You know,
you get a win every once in a while and it feels good.
But if there was a brand new game that nobody had ever played, that everybody's starting from the baseline on, and I had the time, I'd like to think that I could be in that top couple percent. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And you should, because like if you got the time, you can literally do anything. You know what I mean? Like you could be good at anything if you got the time.
I think so.
Yeah, I 100% think you could. And I just, my first excuse and everything is I don't have enough time. Now, if you were to look at my 24-hour like time chart, I'm doing nothing for a large chunk of time. But but I also like, you know, it's frustrating from like Carly's perspective if like I spend more time playing video games. And she's played Fortnite and she's actually gotten a win, a solo win before. But it's like it's just not something she wants to sit and do. So I always feel bad, like, okay, well, I'm not going to play, you know, 10 hours of Fortnite like I would want to, just because I do have a wife that's pregnant, you know. But but yeah. I 100% know that when I'm off during that time, like I'm pulling up the freaking thing the baby's going to be in right next to the TV, and like I'm going to be playing video games and then like with my offhand just like soothing the baby.
Because you have an offhand.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
use your foot yeah, to rock the thing.
Yeah, so it's weird. I definitely am still addicted to video games. I watch Twitch all the time. I watch people play video games all the time because I love video games.
Yeah, that's true.
And so
I'll tell you what, to bring it full circle, I will say that I get more enjoyment or just like gratification of sitting down and playing a couple matches after I've had an accomplished day and gone to the gym or worked a full day. Even if I didn't work, if tomorrow I got up and went to the gym, which I don't plan on doing yet, and then came back and played video games for half the day, I'd feel okay about that. Yeah. Whereas if I just get up and play video games for half the day, I'm going to kind of feel like a piece of crap. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
So I think there is a component of that too, that that you can boost your kind of level of enjoyment.
Yeah. By putting in some work. For sure. And that's like, I think to wrap up with this is like, that's where I'm struggling when it comes to the next generation of consoles is like, I have a gaming computer and it's pretty solid. It can run everything I want it to run. I don't know if I'm getting a PlayStation 5 or not, or if I'm getting a new Xbox.
I tell you what, I don't plan on it.
Yeah, and I would love to just keep playing my PlayStation 4, but the problem is like there are the times where I could get together with you guys online and it's fun to talk and everything, but like I don't know. This is the first time that I've genuinely been like, I don't know if I'm going to move on to the next generation.
Fast forward to Christmas and both of us are like, we both just got PS5s.
100%. As soon as somebody in the friend group gets one, I'm getting one. Like it's just the way it is. But I wish everybody freaking had gaming computers because there's so many other fun games that you can play on PC and some of them are even free and you can still chat and do all that stuff. But like nobody's investing that. And yeah, so.
Dude, desktops. Is yours a desktop? Is it a laptop?
Yeah, it's a desktop.
Nobody's got those anymore, man.
No, and the thing is like, there's just no need for them anymore.
Like, I know.
I don't use it for anything but this podcast. That's what I'm recording on now, and to play video games on. But most of the time, I'm playing on like I'll hop on my PlayStation. So like, I don't need it. And I use it a lot for college stuff, but you know, now that I'm not doing like, it's just, yeah, it literally is just kind of in the way, but something's nice about just like a desktop, you know,
I haven't had one for so long. Like I do remember it being kind of nice having that dedicated workspace and, you know, fixed everything. But I mean, I kind of have that at work, but my laptop has a dock and it goes with me most places.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, hearing those kids' stories playing video games, man, it makes me wish I was in a freshman in high school all over again, just because I have that whole world of gaming ahead of me. and I would do it the exact same. Yeah, I got plenty. I just got to figure out, I don't know, maybe I just like quit my job and just become like a full-time video game streamer and then make millions of dollars and not have to do anything actually with my life besides play video games.
And podcasts.
I feel like I have a better shot of being in the NBA right now than I do making millions of dollars on just streaming, but it crosses my mind once in a while, not to quit my job and do that, but to just dip my toe into that world. Because like, here's the thing, we grew up with video games, playing video games, and by no means do I think I was ever insane at video games. I was good enough to, you know, to compete and stuff like that, but like a lot of what Twitch is and what streaming is a personality. Oh, yeah. I'm not saying I have a crazy personality, but like if I would have known that back then that, hey, just keep playing video games. When I was sitting in Mike's basement with no job for like 2 years straight, just playing video games. Had I known that you could make money off of this at some point, I probably would have tried that and then maybe been successful with it.
You should have just recorded everything.
Yeah, I should have. But then I didn't even know how to back then.
True.
So now I just think, man, had I jumped on it early and played video games, been mediocre at them, and just been funny, I could have definitely made a career out of that. Yeah. But everybody was just like, dude, you got to do something with your life. You can't play video games your whole life. And now there's genuinely parents who have to deal with that same thing. Like, mom, dad, I don't want to go to college. Like, I want to play video games. I'm super good at Fortnite, or I'm super good at whatever. Like, I can stream. I can make money. People give me donations. As a parent, they have to sit back and be like, no, that sounds impossible. But like, if my kid came to me and said that, I'd be like, okay, like, you genuinely could make a living out of this. Like, it's a legit career path now. And like, it's something you have to consider as like your kid wanting to do.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. You're going to have to deal with that, you know, in the next 16 years.
Yeah.
What? I don't know. We'll see. It makes me nervous to think about that, you know, if that would be my only option. But if somebody's got the skills, you know, it's hard to say no.
Right. I don't know. I've been toying around with, and I'll be honest with you, I have everything set up to turn on a stream and start playing video games. And for, you know, for zero viewers, I have it ready to go. It's on my computer, camera's set up, everything's ready to go. I want to find the time to do it and just see what happens. But there's like by no means am I, it's like the podcast. There's nothing in my body that's like, drop everything you're doing and invest all your time. You're going to become a millionaire. Maybe I should have that mindset, but like, I'm kind of just doing it for fun. And I think that's, if I wanted to play video games and stream, like, it'd have to be that mindset too.
Yeah. I mean, I share the same sentiment across the board with what you just said, in the last, you know, 3 minutes about golf. Yeah. I would love to play golf for a living.
Right.
But, and I'll probably never give myself that opportunity to see if it's possible. I know that I wouldn't be the best golfer ever, but there are people that play golf professionally that just shoot consistent scores, come in 30th, make the cut,
right.
Just come up 30th to 70th and make millions of dollars a year. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But no, so we don't live in a place where that's possible.
So let's dive into that for a second. So what does it take for you to drop everything and become and put 100% into becoming a professional golfer?
I think I'd need a year.
Right.
I need a year where I could just play and practice to give a real chance.
So then that year looks like what? You quitting your job.
Yep. I'm moving somewhere where I
probably could play moving. Around. Yep. Probably moving. Brandy would have to get a job that would cover everything that you need. Not just you, just like your house, your food, you know, everything.
Yep.
Which is doable. And then it's just time in. We're talking what we talked about earlier. If you've got the time, you could be good at anything. But the only restriction on you having enough time is you got to get a couple other things into place. Brandy has to get the job. She has to be on board. You know, you want her to be supportive and not feel like she's, you know, working her ass off for no reason, you know. And then you also got like, okay, well, now we got to move. We got to be able to afford that. And it could be more expensive because you're probably in a golf community.
That's what I'm saying. It sounds really easy.
But it's not. Yeah. Of course it's not. Yeah.
I would love to, but you know, odds are that just not in the cards.
Yeah. And that's what's crazy because there's some people that have the mindset of like, yeah, I'm just going to do that. I'm going to quit my job.
In reality, that's not how it happens though. It happens college. No. It happens when you have a family that can afford to do that and let you have that time when you're really not in the professional world or, you know what I mean? There's not a lot of stories where somebody's like, oh, I'm going to drop everything and pursue this one thing. There are a couple, but not very many.
Yeah. It's less than what most people would think, I guess. I don't know, man. I think realistically it has to start with you moving. And I'm not saying you move because, you know, I want you to become a professional golfer because we've already decided I'll be your caddy. I don't know if you've decided that. I've decided that. but you start with a move. Okay, now you've got year-round golf. Then it becomes, Brandy, this is going to be a grind, and what I want to do, and you even sit the dogs down and you talk to them too. Guys, I can't take you for walks after work because I'm going to go to work for 8 hours, 9 hours, 10 hours a day, and then I got to go golf. And then it's just constant practice, 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 where you're getting less sleep, or you're, you know, your days are wrapped up the whole time. Then you get to a point, you start winning some tournaments. Then you got extra income coming in. You start paying off the house. Then it snowballs a little bit. Take less hours at work. Maybe Brandy doesn't have to work now to where she can do some other things.
Problem is with me working is I always end up doing more.
Right.
Like I literally would have to do no work. The work would be focusing on golf.
Right.
That's the issue.
Yeah. So then you'd have to move. You'd have to work at Panera Bread as a chef.
I'm going to work at Taylor Creek Exxon.
Yeah, exactly. In Arizona. You got the experience. Yeah. You work as a chef making freaking calzones or half moons. And then the rest of your time is golfing. And then I just picture how ridiculous that would look. Just like, I don't know. I just can't picture you ever working in a job that's like not like has a great title to it. You know what I mean? Like, oh yeah, Todd, like, man, what happened to Todd? I heard he moved to Arizona. Yeah, he's just delivering pizza for Pizza Hut. Like, but he's golfing a shit ton.
He's chasing that dream.
Yeah, right. And then here's the other side of it. Do you think there's a point where, because, and I pick yours because yours requires a lot of physical, as opposed to me, like being a streamer, basically it doesn't matter how old I am. Do you think there's a limit to what age that dream literally dies?
I do. And I think it's probably mid 30s, late 30s.
Yeah, I would agree. It seems like one of those ones where if you're not in it young, then you're really bad. Your back is really up against the wall.
Literally your back.
Yeah. Yeah. Your back. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the same. I've
actually had this conversation with Joe Slaviak, yeah, who's also a big golfer. And I will eventually, when my body is done, which I've already had issues with because I'm so one directional with golf being such a, you know, single set of muscles on one side of the body versus the other. And there'll be a time when I can no longer play golf the way that I've played golf my whole life because I can't do it. I'll have to either change my golf swing or this is crazy play to left-handed. Say. I've thought about starting to play left-handed.
Yeah. What, every other year, just change your orientation, not sexual, but your golf orientation. So then 1 year you're doing left. You might have to do a couple years left just to balance out the right at all, but just go back and forth. Have yourself a set of left-hand clubs, or even just every other course you just play left-handed when you play right. Played left-handed, you're crushing me still if I play right-handed.
Like, dude, the problem is I can hit it pretty good from like 130 in, and then chipping is a little tough. Putting's fine, but I can't hit a long club left-handed. It's just such a different, but you could get there. I think I could get there. I might try, especially if I don't ever, and odds are I won't ever pursue the full-time thing, then why not? I've gotten pretty goddamn good right-handed. Let's try and see how close I can get.
Try to be left-handed.
That might be a cool, like, that's actually a goal that I should like monitor and record and put a story out there on. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Just do like your first goal is like you want to break 90 left-handed.
I think you just do it. I've heard of people doing it, like taking it up for a summer, just trying to break 100 on an 18 hole course.
Right. Yeah. Trying to break 100, which I try to do that just regular, but do it. I mean, nothing's stopping you.
Yeah, it's true.
I think I'm going to write a book.
What's it going to be called?
It's going to be called Time and Effort.
Mm.
And it's going to be a motivational book from a guy who's literally lacking all motivation. But I think it just comes down to time and effort. Everything.
It does.
The podcast, Todd and I have been talking about this for years. Like literally years. We even recorded old episodes at his old house in Gillette 10 years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
And they went nowhere. And we kept saying we wanted to do it. And
that's weird. I bet it's almost 10 years exactly.
It could be. Yeah.
That's crazy.
And so you think like, you know, we've found the time. We set aside the time and we're putting an effort. And it's got to be a positive effort. I mean, obviously, you know, it's got to be an effort to get better. I mean, every day since like the third podcast, we're like, okay, the audio sucks. Let's see what we can do to get it better. okay, now we got to be consistent. Let's see what we can do to be better. And now we got the time. So I'm writing a book, Time and Effort, 21 pages. That's it. And each page is just going to literally be, you got to put in time and you got to put in some effort. Switch the page. It's in Spanish. Okay. 21 languages, one page each. That's it. Best New York Times bestseller.
Yeah, probably work.
So
it's a coffee table book about coffee tables.
Right. Or here's the meta. You sell it as a book on how to get started writing a book. First page, put in the time and the effort. Next 300 pages are blank. There you go. I gave you the tool you need. Now you got to put in the time and effort to write a book.
You just go to the Walmart and buy a bunch of spiral notebooks and print one page. Yeah. Insert and
just
it.
Yeah, just copy and paste everything into the very beginning. Just literally tape it on the front cover.
Yep.
Yeah.
Turn it into the cover.
I'll be honest with you, Todd. I'm freaking, I don't know. If you're not a pro golfer by this time next year, like, what are we really doing? You know?
I know.
And I don't know. I'm going to start doing some other creative things, I think. I have plenty of time on my plate, and yeah, I got a baby on the way, but like, and maybe this is going to start clicking, and maybe it's because I heard my daughter's, it's going to be a girl. Yeah, appreciate it. Let me dive into that real quick. I'm actually excited. I thought it was a girl from the beginning. Carly and her dad were on team boy for a while. And of course I want a boy at some point, but like, I don't know what happened. I've never been a guy that I don't care what sex is. I'm not going to be like, oh, it's a girl. Like, wow, my dreams of being an all-star basketball player. I'm not that guy. Because she could also be one. But ever since like the Kobe stuff and seeing the way he was with his daughters and being like a daughter dad or a girl dad kind of thing, that trend started after he died. Like, I wanted a daughter really bad at that point. Like, and that was before we were even trying. Like, I don't know. Something about it just like it hit a little different. So yeah, with that being said, like maybe me bringing up the goal stuff and like earlier when we were talking about like mental health and everything like that, like maybe hearing my daughter's heartbeat for the first time, like triggered something in my brain that I don't understand yet. Because you always hear about how that people have kids and like this new level of your brain, like unlocks to protect, to love, to, you know, all that stuff. And so I'm hoping, you know, I don't want to use the typical motivation of like, yeah, I need to get healthy because I want to see my kids grow up. But like, it does feel a little bit heavier now that like it's coming out of my mouth. Like I've heard her heartbeat and now I'm saying that.
Oh, and yeah. Like, that's real for sure.
Yeah. And I want to be more creative and I want to do more things with my life because I want my kid to be like, you know, my dad did some shit when he was like, you know, he just did some shit.
Yeah, for sure.
So I don't know.
I mean, if you ever needed a little bit more motivation, that is it for sure.
Right. Yeah. And it's, I don't know, I guess like, I don't know, hearing, I've known you've wanted to be a golfer for a long time now. And it's like, okay, well, we got the podcast going and it's minuscule in comparison to any other goals we've ever had. But like, it's freaking one under the belt. Like it's, we got a win under the belt. Like what else can we do? What else can we get done?
I know it.
You know, I don't know. We'll talk
it
more.
Helps. It helps talking it through too. Like, and putting it out and kind of making yourself accountable.
Yeah.
Like I set goals. I set goals for myself for all kinds of things, yearly goals and other, you know, milestone goals at work and personal goals for health and fitness. But just talking about this on this podcast for this month or these 2 weeks, nine day, whatever it, I do feel like there's some more accountability there. And I like that. Like, I want to see what it can do.
Yeah, definitely. And hopefully, you know, hopefully other people are, it's something that they start to think about too.
Absolutely. By the way, before we wrap, I just want to say a shout out to anybody listening. I know I had a couple people shoot me some texts or snaps that said they're checking it out, and I hope they make it to this one. And you know, shout out to my buddy Zach up in Gillette and everybody else.
Yeah, great. you know, another shout out to James. He's in my white one class, my white day one, first period. He listens. He works at McDonald's. He throws it in the headphones and he listens. So,
heck yeah.
Shout out to James, man. Good to have you aboard. Tell your friends though. We need some listeners. We need some reviews. We appreciate everybody listening though. Like I'm actually blown away by how many plays we're getting per episode. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, let's keep it going. Let's bump it up.
So until next time, Todd and I are going to get together on Sunday. We're going to talk about some other conspiracy stuff and some mental health stuff, and we're going to dive in some regular shenanigans.
I'm looking forward to it, man. I'll be ready. I'll be coming in hot on Sunday.
Yeah, I've got Monday off too, so I'm going to burn all my energy Sunday on the podcast, and I'm just sleeping all day Monday. So,
all right, I'll be ready.
Yeah, man, good to talk to you again. We'll get together soon outside the podcast, online, of course.
Sounds good.
But yeah, follow us on social media. Throw it in the ocean pod on Instagram and throw pod on Twitter. Reach out and tell us what you guys want to hear. Okay, we're open to any suggestions, like completely. So. Keep on keeping on, Todd. We'll talk to you soon, and keep throwing in the ocean.
All right, man. We'll talk to you later.